First Peoples Fund recognizes the power of art and culture to bring about positive change in Native communities, beginning with individual artists and their families. Jeremy Staub is the program manager for First Peoples Fund. He travels the country facilitating professional development workshops, among other things, for his job. And he'll be at the McCroskey Arts Center in Grand Rapids later this week. Good morning, Jeremy. What is First Peoples Fund?
Well, First Peoples Fund, we are a national Native-led nonprofit that looks to honor and support our Native Indigenous artists, as well as honor our culture bearers, in order to help to continue to support the cultural arts within our community, continue to strengthen the cultural fabrics of our communities through arts and culture.
First Peoples Fund provides a wide array of ways to create arts impact in Native communities, whether it be from grant making, assistance with banking procedures, fellowships. You're coming to Grand Rapids, Jeremy, to conduct professional development workshops. There are lots of barriers that happen for anybody who's an artist as far as making it a successful business.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the challenges that you're noticing specific to Native artists as far as growing their art into a sustainable business?
One of the initial barriers that we do see with a lot of the artists that we do work with is getting over the selling some type of traditional art form as it becoming more of a commodity as opposed to a part of their culture. And a lot of the teachings that a lot of the Native artists that we do work with, they're taught to create these pieces as gifts and to honor the culture and to share those with people. But a lot of times also some of the items do come from the earth or made of natural materials. And a lot of times potters that we work with, for example, when they do harvest the clay and things like that, a lot of them are out there and they do make those offerings to Mother Earth with prayers and maybe leave tobacco and things like that for those gifts that Mother Earth is providing them, like the clay, and in order for them to nurture themselves and their families and take care of them. And so as they create the pots and bake the pots and things like that and paint them, a lot of times they're putting their prayers and themselves into these pieces of work. In the same way, those pieces were meant to nurture them, but also through that monetary exchange today, the art is being exchanged for money, but at the same time that the monetary value is transferred to the artist, in turn is able to use that money to be able to provide for their household, to be able to pay their bills, pay rent, buy and purchase food, things like that. Just because, you know, with colonization and everything, there's been a kind of transfer in culture a little bit. But learning and understanding how to think about capitalism and how to understand it in an indigenous way, and how we can still honor and respect our cultural values at the same time as we're being in traditional marketplaces, is one of the biggest obstacles that some of the artists that we work with do face. Some of the other things is we think about a lot of tribal communities are really based in rural America, right? So market is a huge barrier and obstacle for a lot of the artists that we do work with. So a lot of times looking at how to create different opportunities are creating art markets within our communities and different tourist opportunities for people to visit our communities and share in our culture. Or it's looking at, you know, going outside of our local communities to larger markets and sharing our artwork that may be very distinct to our certain community in our region, but maybe very unique in a different region. And so there may be more value placed on those items outside of the region as supply is less, demand is greater, right? So those are the things we talk about and how do we reach those art markets. Some of it's talking about e-commerce. Some of it's talking about traveling to different like art shows, juried art shows, things like that. But really all of the training is really based on a foundation of an evaluation, the assessment that we do at the beginning of the training and the conversation that we have with artists about cultural values and how they influence us as Native artists, community leaders and members, and how they influence us to create change within our communities and how they influence us on how we manage our businesses. And so with creating a foundation around core values, it helps a lot of the artists cross over that barrier, that gap between, again, Western capitalism versus traditional economies. And so when we're able to understand our business and how we operate it, and how if we can do it in a way that comes from centered on our culture values, it allows us to liberate us to really meet that new market need. So those are some of the conversations we have at the beginning of the trainings, but also a lot of it is some of the other stuff, just more general entrepreneurial type of training with pricing, talking about how to price our artwork, how to create more value added into our art, as well as going into things like creating an artist portfolio, what is all consistent in an artist portfolio, thinking about working with our calendar and developing a calendar for as an artist throughout the year and planning ahead for different art shows and really identifying opportunities where there are to sell art instead of just creating art to sell. We also go through some business planning section in the training as well. And then we do some exercises at the end to talk about presenting artwork, presenting yourself and your art, to be able to talk about yourself comfortably. And a lot of times, a lot of the artists that we do work with, especially Native artists in Native communities, a lot of Natives are really taught to be humble and not really brag about themselves. So sometimes it's very difficult, especially for artists, to talk about themselves, and even harder to talk about their artwork. And so these are things we want to help the artist overcome and create different practices and habits and disciplines for them to feel comfortable about telling their story. Because, of course, it adds value to the artwork. A lot of times the collectors and buyers of the art aren't just buying a piece of art. They're also investing into a person and into a story as well. And so those are the things that we like to focus and talk about in the trainings.
That is Jeremy Staub. He's program manager for an organization called First People's Fund. He'll be conducting professional development workshops for Native artists at the McCrosty Art Center in Grand Rapids this Wednesday and Thursday. I hadn't thought about that kind of colonial economy compared with the cultural history of the Native economy.
I've seen the change in so many artists just having that discussion, because it's kind of a luxury to take the moment to pause and stop and evaluate our cultural values and to think about the people that have instilled those cultural values in us. And once we come from a place of being centered around that, it makes and it really empowers the artist to be able to say, I can do this. This is a part of who I am. A lot of the times, because of colonization, colonialism, maybe tribal members don't feel a part of those economies and don't feel like their art is fine art, or even that they're artists at all, you know? And so we want to have those conversations and really empower the artist to take those next steps in their art career, whatever it is, you know, and however they define success. We want to encourage them to grow in those ways. And I've seen artists blossom after having those conversations about cultural values. It really helps them take that next step in their arts career. So we're seeing artists increasing their household income, maybe taking that step out from being a part-time artist to a full-time artist and start thinking of themselves as an artist entrepreneur, and that what they do is fine art. And you kind of see a shift in thinking about how they identify themselves and how they think about themselves. And the cool thing, like even like up there in Red Lake with one of the artists there that has gone through our program, and actually he'll be one of the instructors at the training there in Grand Rapids, it'd be Wesley May.
Mm-hmm.
And he's gone through a couple of these trainings himself and really gravitated to the whole conversation around cultural values, and it really changed him as an individual and gave him the strength and confidence to want to do his artwork and to share his values, his love with his community. And what you see is a transformation to start with these one individual, sometimes these champions of the arts in the community. And he starts sharing that with other artists and the community, and he starts doing like public artwork around the community. And then the guy starts working with other artists, encouraging them to take these steps and start talking to them about their cultural values and showing them the different curriculum, these more entrepreneurial style curriculums in the manual, and helping to instill better business disciplines with some of them. And so when you get these individuals like that, you start to see the whole idea of like all ships rise together, right? With rising tides, like this is what you see. Like you'll start seeing these individuals start to think about their family and then their community of artists and start encouraging them. And then you start seeing these other artists taking off, right? And so So you start seeing all these artists, and then there's this like artist collective, artist movement within the community. Yeah. And then you start getting noticed by other community organizations and starting to understand what the potential of these artists have and having positive effects within the community, not just on monetary value as far as establishing the creative economy, but also the cultural health of the community and the vibrancy of the community by beautification through murals and public art and things like that. And so then the CDFIs are starting to notice. There's their community development financial institutions, their tribal entrepreneurial programs, tribal colleges, and they're wanting to figure out how they can support the artists in helping them create more formal businesses. First Peoples Fund did a market study in 2013 that was called Establishing the Creative Economy, and we surveyed a bunch of artists in the state of South Dakota. And what we found out on the tribal reservations in South Dakota, that 51% of households had some type of cash-based business within them. So what that told us, because we know there's not a lot of jobs in some of our tribal communities, and a lot of the good jobs are already taken, and so people have to be creative in how they create income for their households. And so of those 51% of those households, 79% of those, they were selling some type of art in order to sustain their household. So it tells us this huge informal economy that exists within tribal communities. I find that statement holds true in a lot of the tribal communities that I travel to. And so when I talk about these organizations that do small business development and technical assistance with entrepreneurs, like they don't really, a lot of them are struggling to service artists. And with this study, it's telling us that there's this huge population of artist entrepreneurs, but they just haven't had the formal training. The schools aren't teaching these individuals how to be entrepreneurs in high school, and maybe they're not taking those classes in college, but a lot of them have studied how to become fine artists. And so they're needing those entrepreneurial skills. And so this is what First Peoples Fund likes to offer, why we like to offer these Native artists professional development trainings. We do it in a way that is culturally based, as well as it's relevant to the business side of their art.
That is Jeremy Staub from First Peoples Fund. He will be facilitating professional development workshops for Native artists at the McCroskey Art Center Wednesday and Thursday of this week. And Native artists are welcome to sign up for that workshop by visiting firstpeoplesfund.org or calling 605-348-0324. Or you can sign up by reaching out to the McCroskey Art Center in Grand Rapids. I'm Katie Carter. You're listening to Area Voices on Northern Community Radio. Again, those business development workshops for Native artists will take place this Wednesday and Thursday at the McCroskey Art Center in Grand Rapids. There is still space available for Native artists to attend. You can call the McCroskey Art Center for more information or us, 800-662-5799. This Area Voices piece made possible by the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and the people of Minnesota. This interview available on our website later today, kaxc.org.